Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wednesday on the North Shore Drive podcast, on the we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and man, we have a lot to talk about with Matt Canada being fired from the Steelers on Tuesday. To do that, I brought a former Steeler on. We've had him on before, Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman, Super Bowl champion. We're going to talk about all the things that has been happening here for the Steelers, his insight, why the Canada move needed to happen now, and what Kenny Pickett still has to do with his new offensive coordinator, Eddie Faulkner, and his play caller, Mike Sullivan. All that in a contested AFC North. It's going to be a fun episode on the North Shore Drive podcast. For the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the day before the game as we break things down all week long here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And remember, we also have daily content that comes out from all our Post-Gazette sports creators, and check all of that out there. As always, the show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar in the North Shore of Pittsburgh right now. They're on Federal Street across the street from PNC Park. They have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap, and they're always switching them out every single week, so you can never get tired about the selections that they have. They have also over 20 televisions, so if you want to catch the Steelers away game while also keeping an eye on every other NFL game, there's no better place to do it. Go to Mike's Beer Bar. We'll have more on them later. We're rejoined here by a guy who returns to our show, Trey Essex, two-time Super Bowl champion, former Steelers offensive lineman. He rejoins the show. Trey, you and I were texting Sunday after the game, and we were like, boy, that was a rough one, man. And we was talking about, man, something has to change. Right. Did you see Matt Canada's firing coming this week? Because everyone's like, I didn't see that coming. They've never done it, never thought they'd do it, but they've now done the thing that people have been chanting, literally in Utah, on the Pat McAfee show, they've been chanting, fire Matt Canada. Was this something that you see coming, and do you see this creating the change that people hope it does?
No, of course not. It's I didn't see, note to the fact that I did not see it coming. I'm 50-50 on if it's going to create the change that we intended to. Nobody saw this coming. I mean, if anybody thought a change was going to be made, it would be during the bye week. But as we know, losing division games has rippling effects every year throughout the organization. And losing to the Browns the way we lost to the Browns, I can see why the move was made now, especially with the remaining schedule and the fact that we still have a legit chance at doing some damage in this division and maybe making a run into the playoffs. But will it make the change that we want it to? I'm hoping. And a quote that my dad always used to tell me, every difference makes a difference. And so we're hoping that a difference in the play calling and the way that the game plan is formulated throughout the week, if things are paired together properly within the run game and the pass game, and if our playmakers are going to get the ball, we hope all that increases this weekend with a change in the voice that Kenny Pickett hears in his head.
I think that's definitely a big part of this is the organization standpoint. And Mike Tomlin praised Eddie Faulkner's organizational skills going into this. He talked about how he runs one of the best rooms on the team as far as the running backs, as far as keeping them in order and focused every single week. I think that's a big part of this is Matt Canada, for all the talk about his play calls and the things like there, I think what I've been continuing to say for months is I am less concerned about his play calling and more concerned about how his players aren't hitting the play calls when they're there. And that to me is it was always a sign of teaching, of organization, of not getting guys to be on the same page. And that's part of the job of coordinating. As much as people think it's as simple as, you know, hitting a button in Madden and saying, I'm calling the deep ball here, coach. That's not what it's as much about. It's about making sure each and every week you're focused on what your opponent does. You're focused on your strengths and getting your plan to play into those strengths. And that just wasn't done enough for the Steelers. And heck, a lot of people were pointing at it in a game where Jaylen Warren was averaging like 11 yards per carry. He only had 9. And if he gets more, maybe the Steelers beat the Browns on last Sunday and they're staring at 7-3 instead of 6-4.
Right. Interesting stat came across my way. When Jaylen Warren gets 10 carries, the Steelers are 6-0. He had 9 carries on Sunday.
Just hit, ran the ball one more time, and they win the game. What is Matt Canada think? I'm playing. That is funny.
But, yeah, and outside just from the schematics, I think we have a young offense.
Yes.
A very, perhaps, maybe social media savvy, not even savvy, but just someone, an offense that would lend itself to maybe hearing some of the chatter that's been outside the locker room. And you can't tell me that the last 2.5 years, that through all that and the way that Canada has conducted himself and how the offense has not had success, that he's probably lost some of those guys on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm sure Coach Tomlin was looking at it from a leadership standpoint. Like, are these guys respecting when Canada, what plan Canada puts in that week? And do they have full confidence going into a game on Sunday that that plan will work? I don't think they did. And so promoting somebody like Faulkner, I thought it was very strategic of Tomlin to have Faulkner be that guy to run the room, to get the meetings right, to conduct how they do things throughout the week, and then alleviating some of his duties, at least first time around, let Sullivan call the plays. I think, especially with Sullivan having the experience he has in the NFL, I thought that was the right move to do. And so I thought Faulkner, from a leadership standpoint, was the right move to make. I think guys could get behind him, could believe what he's saying, and go into the game on Sunday fully confident that they are prepared to the T to do what they have to do on offense to be successful.
I also think part of this plays into, you're leaning now into the strength that has emerged in the Steelers offense. And as much as people are going to talk about how bad everything is, they have now run the ball for over 160 yards for 3 straight games. I don't know the last time that they did that, as an offense. I mean, Jaylen Warren has back-to-back 100-yard games. The last time that happened was James Conner for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think there's a statement there. And in fact, you look back at the last game that they played, they ran for over 170 yards against the Browns. No team had done that. So you're coming off of some really strong performances in the ground game. The offensive line's making progress there. The running backs are making progress there. And we've heard from Broderick Jones and Najee Harris that part of it has been the meetings that they've kind of set up to get everyone on the same page. Eddie Faulkner, I have no doubt, has been part of helping take that to the next step. If he can be part of engineering that kind of a change for the whole Steelers offense, that could be part of it. Because it's not like he's drawing up a whole new playbook. That's just unrealistic.
You can't do that.
But reorganizing the playbook and reorganizing how you approach each week with the plays that are there. Because again, and Najee Harris said this, and I think it was very true. He's like, everybody got the same plays. Everyone has similar concepts in every playbook, but it's about when you use them, how you use them, what you tell your players to focus on, and how you counter that with what defenses want to do. And Kenny Pickett complained, we prepared a lot for man coverage this week against the Browns. They ran a lot more zone coverage than what we were thinking, and that led to some problems. That's where I think Eddie Faulkner can be a difference maker. And we'll get to Kenny Pickett in a second. But Trey, I just think that's where, if he's going to make a difference for the Steelers, it has to be in that organizational standpoint.
Oh, yeah. You got to be able to, and like you pointed to, the fact that our run game has been successful the last 3 weeks. And now Eddie Faulkner is the one calling the shots in the OC. As the OC, I thought that speaks volumes, because they can get behind what he's saying, because he's actually got a little bit of proof in the pudding. He has some momentum and getting these running backs ready to go. So you would think that can transpire throughout the entire offense. And so I'm excited to see what he can do this weekend going against a team like Cincinnati, no matter who you play, I mean, especially a division opponent, you're going to be very familiar. They're down Burrow, of course, but that defense has always been a trouble for us the last few years. And so we can't take them lightly at all. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with this offense this weekend.
Absolutely. He's Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman and two-time Super Bowl champion. I want to ask Trey specifically about Kenny Pickett. And because all this don't matter if Kenny Pickett doesn't at least take what's there with schemed up in the offense. We'll get to all that here on the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. He's Trey Essex. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you're going down to the North Shore, go right to Federal Street, across the street from PNC Park. Mike's Beer Bar is there. It's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. You have over 20 televisions, so you can watch whatever sporting event that you want. Literally, if you want to find Duquesne women's basketball, they'll find it for you and put it on the tube. You can also try one of their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, 80 of those local beers being available on tap. Every option that you could dream of, and every week they're switching in new options so that you never run out of ideas. Also try their steak on a stone meal, where you get your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. Each time you cut off a piece, you press it into that stone, it heats up to the degree of wellness you want your steak done with every single bite. That's what Mike's Beer Bar brings, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go down to the North Shore, get Mike's Beer Bar. When you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're also brought to you by Savinus Kane Gallucci, their mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane and Gallucci.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter here with Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl champion, Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman. Trey, you and I talked about this as well after the game, and you even tweeted about this. All of this, there's a lot of kumbaya now in Pittsburgh, now that Matt Canada has been fired, is what people have been wanting. But your point, my point, I think a lot of people's point, is none of this matters if Kenny Pickett does not improve in taking what's there. Because as much as we can look at the organization of the offense, the play calling, and things like that, there were plenty of opportunities that if he just makes the right throw, sees the open man, that the Steelers could have won that game, and Matt Canada might not be fired right now, including in the fourth quarter where Deontay Johnson runs a simple slant and breaks wide open. No one covers him, and Kenny Pickett never even looks at him and runs into a sack. It's plays like that that if Kenny Pickett doesn't eliminate, they have to find some other answer, because I don't think anyone can operate there. What's the biggest thing that you see that Kenny Pickett has to do to change what he's been doing wrong over the past few weeks?
His eyes. And you mentioned he's not looking in the spots that seem he should be obviously looking in. And it's anticipation. Like, even when he's looking at the right spot, he sees a guy, he's not throwing guys open, or he's not anticipating that the guy will come open based on the coverage that he's seeing. So that just tells me he really lacks confidence. I mean, he can prepare all he wants to, but if he's not really to execute and pull the trigger on plays that he's seen in practice and on film, it's a waste. All that hard work that he's put in that Tomlin talks about is a waste if he can't throw in anticipation and he can't trust what his eyes are telling him. And so, I don't know if we're talking about the same play, but I'm talking about the crossing patterns in that game. Yes, he got a little bit of pressure late, but when I was looking at that play, and I looked at it from the tight view, I looked at it from the sideline, and Deontay comes open late over the middle. How it broke down and how it fell through, that should have been an easy read for him. And I'm looking at where his eyes are looking, and it looks like he's not even sure what the play concept is. And I'm like, it's easy. You should, like, yes, he got pressure a little late, but all he had to do was throw it with a little bit of anticipation and lead Deontay, and that's an easy touchdown. But that's just a microcosm, because he has quite a few plays like that where he's just not stepping into the pocket. His default, and he got away from it for a couple of weeks, but it's nothing more annoying to a left tackle than when you step in and then step out and roll to the left. And I know Dan Moore has to be a little frustrated, but I know Roger gave up a sack when he was playing left tackle a couple of weeks ago because of that same move. But that seems to be like his default, and he has to get out of that bad habit of rolling out to the left when he feels a little bit of sense, because he's taking his eyes away from downfield. He's that momentary where he turns away from downfield. He can't see the wide receivers come open. He can't see where the defender is exactly, and it usually ends up bad. And so, but he has to be confident, and I think that's going to start with how he practices this week. and he has to be confident in what his eyes tell him. He has to be able to anticipate and throw guys open.
That's the bottom line here, is because Kenny Pickett was not drafted because he had a cannon arm. He was not drafted because he was really fast. He was not drafted because he was really tall. He was drafted because the way that he commanded Pitt's offense showed a guy who could see the field, who could take what was there. And I think that's all the Steelers are looking for. Just take the open man. They're not asking you to throw guys open 30 yards downfield. They're saying, hey, if this run game gets going the way they think it will and the way it has the past month or so, there's going to be open opportunities as defenses try to brace for that run game and can't match up and just take away every receiver. They're just saying, hey, man, work through your progressions. 1, 2, 3, find the open guy. And there were times last year where I think Kenny Pickett started to do that. And even times at certain points this year, I think the Rams game, you could see that in the fourth quarter start to come to the forefront. But it has not happened consistently in one game for Kenny Pickett. And that's where I think by the end of the season, we got 7 more games, I think, here. They're 6-4. So there's 7 more games here because they're 6-4. In those 7 games, they need to see that from him at some point to show like, hey, it's we got rid of the coordinator. If that was an issue, that's a thing. But they have to see him be able to have that command on a football field. And if they don't, I think there's going to be a lot of big questions going into this offseason about how they handle the quarterback position and recruiting going forward.
Right. And it also concerned me, that quote he made this week that I've never quite heard a quarterback make in
the office
before about they played more man than they played zone. I mean, every defense in the NFL plays some version of man or zone.
Yep.
So that had me questioning, like, what are you preparing for? Nobody's going to be one coverage the entire game. What is it about what they did that you could go to the sideline? Even if that was the game plan this week, oh, we're going to have a lot of man beaters in the offense, but they're playing zone. Okay, after the first or second series and you see this adjustment that they've made, you should be able to adjust to a man zone. Like, there's plenty of plays in the playbook, at least it should be,
yep,
for either type of defense. And so I didn't know if that was more Canada or more Kenny, but it did concern me that Kenny made that comment in a press conference. I mean, that's like basic 101 quarterback stuff. Teams play man, teams play zone, and you got to adjust accordingly.
Yeah, I'm right with you. And that was the thing when he said that. I also thought, like, okay, but like every play, Matt Canada's even brought this up before when I asked about it. Every play that you design in NFL offenses has a part of it that beats man and a part of it that beats zone. And it's up to the quarterback to be able to identify those situations. And I even asked Kenny Pickett about that because, like, there was a play against the Packers in a game that they won where he checked it down to Jaylen Warren really quickly because he thought it was going to be man, but they dropped back into a zone and Deontay Johnson was walking towards the end zone. Crazy enough, Deontay Johnson's name getting open again and not being targeted. But he was walking to the end zone and couldn't even get a look at because Kenny Pickett locked into what he thought would be man coverage based off of his pre-snap reads. And that's, again, where I think that beyond just the play calling standpoint from Mike Sullivan, the organization of it, the setting Kenny Pickett up every week. Hey, when they do this thing, when they give you this look, it could be this, but it could be this. And this is the key I need you to read as a quarterback to understand in the 2 seconds. And I'm going to say this. Quarterback is not easy. I'm not saying just read the defense. But to be a good quarterback in the NFL, which I think still Kenny Pickett still can be, you have to be able to understand, and that's in those 2 seconds to start the snap, what is the defense doing? And immediately, instinctually, no, this is my counter for that. I'm going right there. I don't have to see my receiver to get open. I know he's going to get open, and I'm going to make this throw in that situation. If he starts doing that right there, Trey, that opens up everything else for the offense and for the entire team, in my opinion.
Right. And knowing it and doing it with confidence are two different things. I think he knows it. Now, having the confidence to pull that trigger, that's a whole different ball game. And so because he's so turnover adverse at this point, he understands the strength of our team is our defense. And I'm sure it's been mentioned once or twice after he started his rookie year with all those interceptions that he wanted to take care of the ball better. And he's done a great job to his effect, but it's not like he's taking a lot of risk either. And so we need his offense to be more explosive, and we need some big plays downfield. And I think a good way to do that, and I think this leads into him, and I mentioned this on Twitter as well, getting more no huddle in there, because the thing that no huddle does for Kenny, it lets him call the plays that he's most comfortable with. But another thing that it does, it puts the defense in a base defense. They can't sub out. They can't do a whole bunch of different things on defense. They might have, you know, some formation adjustments where they might blitz or something. But for the most part, they got to stay in a vanilla type defense when you are running plays. And going downfield in a no huddle. And so I think that will help Kenny out a lot, slowing things down from a processing standpoint and also giving him confidence to drive the car and call the plays that he's most comfortable with.
I'm right with you. I think that's the big thing. Make things easier on him. And no huddle can be that. And it's one of those things that you don't want to run it all game long.
Right. No, just a change up.
It's just a change up, you know, to get things going. And you know what? Maybe after a drive, like if they can get one of those opening drive touchdowns like they did against the Titans and the Packers, maybe the next drive, that's when you bring it in, because then you have some confidence, you get things going, and then start feeding off of that. And if that leads to something, then you can get back-to-back scores. And then all of a sudden, you got two scores in your opening drives. You got some confidence. And then you can mix it up. And the defense, the other team, they're going to be looking like, the Steelers have scored 14 points and it's the first quarter. We're in trouble. Like that's right. Where I'm right with you. If they can get something out of Kenny Pickett, just do that. No one's asking him to be Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, none of that. I think the Steelers, all they're saying is, hey, be Jimmy Garoppolo right now. Take what's in front of you, and this team can win.
All day. And especially with the two horses we got. And Jalen's coming on strong, obviously. Yeah. And I think Najee's not getting enough due credit. People are
I am so glad you said that, Trey.
Najee has played well. This last week, he didn't have his best game, but the two prior games, I think him and Jalen have a very good yin and yang. I think they benefit one another. I think Najee has ran hard when we needed him to run hard. He's had some big plays, but he gets all the flack because he's a first round draft pick. I get it. And there's an undrafted guy doing better. I'm not just gonna put it out there.
Jalen is
doing better when he has the ball. But it's not like Najee's not being productive. And it's not like he's not a big reason as to why the offense is running a lot better. He is absolutely a big reason because of that. They often run two different plays. I can get into this whole breakdown of it real quick, but sure. I'm not going to. But Najee gets undue flack a lot of times for how he's run the ball. I'm happy that he's doing better. I think that he's a crucial part of this offense. Obviously, we want to get Warren the ball as well more. But having sets, I think, with both of them in there will help our offense a lot. Do some things that San Francisco and Green Bay used to do back in the day when they had two backs, when Aaron Green and A.J. Dillon used to do that a couple years ago. But so many options with this offense with the playmakers, and I'm really happy the way 22 has been playing. Don't think he gets enough credit.
I agree. I mean, I think on top of this, and you brought this up, it's not just about what he's doing on the field and the hard work he's doing there. Behind the scenes, he's the guy that's like, guys, let's get it. Let's do this. Let's do that. And Mason Cole's talked about it. Broderick Jones has talked about it. But he's the guy leading that. I think that that's where the Steelers really appreciate him, is that he's a leader. Guys are following him. And he works with Jalen. Like, as much as people, you know, a lot of people are trying to make this a versus situation between the two of them, they're very much a tandem. And you can even see when Jalen Warren scores a touchdown, Najee Harris, even if he's not on the field, he wants to celebrate with him because he's like, that's my guy. And I think that chemistry is so important to the Steelers. It could be very important to them flipping things around. They're 6-4. They're not where they were this time last season, where I think they were 3-7 or 4-6, and they had to win so many games to get back into the playoff conversation. They would be the seventh seed if the playoffs started today at this very moment. If they can figure a few things out on offense, just taking the basic parts of the passing game and making that average, this team is a playoff team and maybe even a playoff competitor. And I want to talk about that more with you with the AFC North and the outlook for the rest of the season here on the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, we'll remind you, we're also sponsored by Game Time. Game Time is the app you can download right to your phone right now and get you a chance to buy tickets for your favorite events without it being stressful and giving you easy ways to do it. Game Time is the easy way to buy tickets for all your events, whether it's you're going to a sporting event, a Steelers game, a Penguins game, a Pitt game, whatever you want to go to, or if you're going to a musical theater event, a comedy show, anything around Game Time can help you buy tickets for, and they're getting you killer discount deals that you will be so excited to get. And when you go into the Game Time app or go to their website, gametime.co, you can look right at the view from your seat so that you know when you're getting that seat, that's what you're getting the value that you're actually paying for. So get the Game Time today. You can even get those kind of discounts up to an hour after your event has started if you're running late. Game Time is the best place to get tickets. And right now, they have a best price guarantee that can't be beat. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to the website gametime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter here with two-time Super Bowl champion and former Steelers offensive lineman Trey Essex. Trey, let's talk about the AFC North for a bit here because the Browns just won this game. They were 7-3. They're now a game up on the Steelers, but the Steelers can still battle back with them. I think that some people have now discounted the Steelers from having a chance at the AFC North simply because of the way they played against the Browns. But like you said, this is a young team, and young teams I find are often the most likely to turn things around in the middle of a season, get hot and start getting things going for them. And again, like the run game playing well, the defense is playing well. If the passing game just takes a little step up and the rest of those things hold, I think that this is a team that they win more of those games like they lost against the Browns. And I think they even win more games like they lost against the Jaguars. And when I look at the standings right now, especially in the AFC North, the Ravens don't exactly have an easy towing. They have the Chargers this week and the Rams after that, but their final four games at the Jaguars, at the Niners, against the Dolphins, and then with those three games, if the Steelers can just handle their business down the stretch, that the Steelers would get the Ravens in a final Week 18 matchup, and if the Ravens were still a division leader and the Steelers beat the teams they're supposed to beat, you got backup quarterbacks for the Bengals and a defense that's struggling to stop the run, you got teams like the Patriots, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, the Colts, all teams there that you can beat, you can lead into that situation. This could be a season that I think the Steelers have a shot at winning this division.
And that's why this move was such a crucial one. The timing of it is not lost on me. This was a stretch that we got a legit chance to show who we are as a team. And ironically, Chris, I mean, we're 6-4. Unlike every other game that we play where we've had to come from behind, we actually control our own destiny moving forward. Yep. And with a very favorable schedule. And so everything's right in front of us. And if, like you said, we just make some minor improvements in the passing game, well, I want to say more than minor, a little bit more than minor, because we've already been probably as bad as you can get in the passing game. But if we could just make some strides and keep on running how we're running and keep our defense healthy, that is crucial. If our guys on defense stay healthy, because we've been absolutely devastated at the linebacker positions, but we got some guys in there. I know Miles Jack is familiar. We got Blake Martinez, Pokemon card guy, coming in. But he was very productive in his years in Green Bay and New York, so I'm very familiar with him. And so he's a tackling machine. If he shows anything that he's done, and he's only 28 years old, I think he's going to help our defense out a lot. And so if those things mesh and Kenny Pickett starts improving and has more confidence and you can see this offense start heading in the right direction, everything is in front of us, from the AFC North title to hosting a playoff game in Acrisure Stadium for the first time. It's right there in front of us.
I think it's there. And I think that's the thing. I think people are discounting the rest of the way. I think the Browns, their defense did their thing against the Steelers this past week, but their defense on the road has actually been pretty bad, and they're about to face a Broncos team that started to figure some things out. I don't give the Browns an easy pass this week to win. And when I look at their schedule, they don't have nearly as tough a schedule as the Bengals or the Ravens do, because both of them play some tough opponents down the stretch. But they also have to play the Jaguars. They also have to play the Texans. They still have to play the Bengals. And I don't think it's an easy gimme against teams like the Broncos, the Rams, or the Jets at this point. So, you know, I think the Browns aren't necessarily a gimme to just keep ahead of the Steelers, but right. That's where it comes back down to. Can the Steelers handle their business? You look at these games coming up. I think if they want to win the division, this week is a must win. They don't need to win this week to make the playoffs, in my opinion. But if they want to win the division and host a playoff game, beating the Bengals this week gets you to 7-4 and sets up a home stand against the Cardinals and the Patriots, and then a road game against the Colts. And if you get through that 4-0, all of a sudden you're 10-4. And then you're looking at the season with three last games against a backup quarterback led Bengals coming to Pittsburgh, a Seahawks team that has not looked good this season. And then you're looking at the Ravens at the end of the year. If you can go 5-2 in that stretch, you're an 11 win football team. That might not win the division, but you will at least be one of the higher wild cards to get a shot at playing one of the lower division winners. And that's more of a matchup that could definitely suit the Steelers than necessarily playing, you know, like the Chiefs in Kansas City to start their wild card run.
Exactly. And if we keep on morphing into the team that I think we're capable of, we're turning into a December, January team with the way we're running the ball and the way our defense people didn't realize how well our defense played against the run against Cleveland. I mean, yep. That has been one of our biggest bugaboos the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And they completely shut down a top five ranked rushing offense that had to depend on the run because of their quarterback situation. And so I thought that was very good, a very good sign moving forward for the defense that we are developing into a team that can win playoff football games. And all we need is a little bit of improvement in the passing game. And who knows, we can really be competitive. This league this year has been very the parity has been very noticeable. There has been no dominant team. Even Philly at 9-1 doesn't look like world beaters right now. They're just winning games when they have to win games. And so yep. I think anything can happen if we get into the show. But we got to get into the show. In order to get into the show, we got to take care of business.
Absolutely. He's Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman, two-time Super Bowl champion. You got into the show quite a few times in your career. So I think you know exactly what you're talking about, sir. Trey, thanks so much for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you all for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. This is the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette show. You find all our written content at post-gazette.com. Find all of our podcast content at Post-Gazette Sports, whether it's on your favorite podcasting app or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel for all of the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes, as well as our day before the game episode with the Accuracy Fan Advantage. We've got Ben Baby from ESPN who covers the Bengals to give us a great insight. That'll be up Saturday morning if you want to check that out and get your preview on for the Steelers Bengals this weekend. But we got another episode with Brian Batko for Friday. Hey, Trey, happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving. It wouldn't be a pre-Thanksgiving Day podcast if I didn't ask you what's the best Thanksgiving Day food. So before we get out of here, best for Thanksgiving Day food right now.
Look, I like them all. I'm not picky. But if I have to do say so myself, my fried Cajun turkey that I make at the house is quite the delicacy. So,
did you just say fried Cajun turkey?
Fried Cajun turkey.
Can I come over tomorrow?
Come on over, man. I got to fry two of them, man. It's going to be funny.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. Trey, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, everyone, check us out Friday after Thanksgiving. We'll have an episode getting you ready for Steelers-Bengals right then. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.